Excuse me, I just want to get by. Yeah, I want... Excuse me, please. I just want to... Excuse me.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I said excuse me.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Rhetorical, I can't hear you, don't even bother. I'm just being nice. Excuse me. Every time I go to the movies, if I sit in the middle of the row, which is the preferable place to sit, it's the center of the auditorium, the screen is centered right in front of you, you want to sit in the center. But there's no aisle in the center. You have to get by other people first. People with long legs, short legs, wheelchairs, you name it. And you got to get up and you got to squeeze that little 3-inch space between the other person's knees and the chair in front of them. That's your crawl space. That's your exit. So you got to, if you have to go to the bathroom or something, you want to get some popcorn, you got to stand up. You got to, excuse me, sorry. I'm sorry, excuse me, please. Sorry, excuse me, please. That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Well, I have to go to the bathroom. What am I supposed to do? I didn't ask you to sit next to me. You should be smarter that way. Sometimes if I'm in a movie theater with regular seats, I'll sit up very straight and tall. I'm 6'3" tall. Whoever's sitting behind me, and I have hair still, whoever is sitting behind me, I'm so sorry. I'm ruining your entire experience, aren't I? Well, don't sit behind me. See, that way no one's going to sit behind me and eat popcorn in my ears. Excuse me. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you today. This is a special time between us. Ugh, that was too soppy, wasn't it? Yeah, it didn't fit. I shouldn't go there. Well, I'm going to talk about what everybody is talking about. No, not sex, although, you know, that could be it. 18.2 million viewers tuned into the Return of the Roseanne show. Show that I hated, didn't even like, didn't think was funny way back then. You've probably heard, and if you haven't heard this news, let's define things. If you weren't aware of this news story, then you really need to pay attention to things. That means things are happening in the world, you got blinders on, you're not helping matters at all by just living inside a box. the world doesn't change until you pay attention to it. Roseanne Barr got fired from ABC's number one show. They canceled The Roseanne Show, which just made its premiere only about 10 episodes ago, ended the season early. They didn't do that many episodes. They were slated to come back for a second season. Roseanne Barr ruined that for everybody. Here's what she did. And if you didn't hear this, I'm surprised you didn't hear this. Not that it's earth-shattering really in any significant manner, but in a society sense, it's pretty earth-shattering. Roseanne Barr has had a history of saying and doing outlandish things. Could have been Trump's wife, actually, except she's, according to Trump, probably too ugly and too fat, because that's the way Trump designates females, you know, by their physical attributes. I don't have to prove that. I think that's been proven by himself. They are very much alike, in my estimation. In 1990, Roseanne Barr, she stands in front of a stadium full of baseball fans and belts out the national anthem in a purposefully disgraceful manner in order to make fun of the national anthem and those that sing it. The crowd started booing her immediately. This was in 1990. That put her on the map. In 2011, she dressed as a Nazi at a photo shoot with a box of people-shaped cookies. In other words, people were baked during that horrible time, and she made fun of it. Well, that didn't only just piss off Jews, it pissed off human beings. She did that in 2011. The next year, in 2012, she made public comments about transgenders going to the bathroom. It was a tweet in which she alienated herself from free-thinking individuals. In 2013, the very next year, she tweeted, Susan Rice is a black woman of prominence. She tweeted that Susan Rice is a man with boy swinging ape balls. Ape balls? Seriously? In 2018, just yesterday, she tweets that Valerie Jarrett, who was a former Obama aide, she said the following stuff. She said, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. She's referring to this prestigious black woman, Valerie Jarrett. Making the reference of an ape to a black person. Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. And that's Valerie Jarrett. I mean, ABC almost immediately responded by canceling Roseanne's show for good. They hired her with this history that I just mentioned, plus other stuff that she's done through the years. That's okay. I mean, you can have people doing TV shows who are controversial. We've had that before. We still do. Anyway, the president of ABC Entertainment is Channing Dungey, who happens to be a very prominent black woman executive. So what Roseanne Barr did basically was insult and demean her own boss. And that got her fired. So immediately Channing Dungey puts out a response by saying what Roseanne has said is despicable, ABC will not tolerate it, her show is canceled immediately, etc. I think it's also because ABC realizes that the backlash by all the advertisers would not only kill the Roseanne show, but it would kill the reputation of ABC, and advertisers may also boycott ABC in its entirety and not even advertise on ABC at all, much less a Roseanne show if it still existed. So ABC, I think for business reasons, had to make that statement, not just for moral reasons, which is fine. You know, I think the country should run like that. If someone does something despicable or says something despicable, and our citizens don't like it, then it should perish. That's what our country is about. It's how we respond to things and what we do about it. Here is the biggest problem of all, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Then you can go into deliberation. Here's the biggest problem. When Roseanne started her comeback show less than a year ago, Donald Trump, who happens, I don't know if you know this guy, he's the president, he actually stood up in front of a crowd and for a good period of time just started saying how wonderful Roseanne is, how her show represents the way Trump people think, and just screaming and chanting from a pulpit about how wonderful Roseanne is, how many viewers she has, what her ratings were. This is the president talking. I don't get it. Just going on and on and on about it. He calls up Roseanne Barr to congratulate her on her show coming back and the viewership. And Roseanne communicates with him. Then this happens. Roseanne is wiped off the face of the earth as far as morality and sensitivity is concerned. And do we hear from the President of the United States about this matter? No. It's been almost an entire day later, and the President has not said a word about this subject matter, which he, at one point, had plenty of time to talk about. The press pressed Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the biggest liar in the world, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders there. And they said, why isn't the president responding to this great social outcry? And Sarah Sanders' response is, he doesn't have time to do that. He has better things to do. He doesn't have the time to respond to tweets. What? He doesn't have time to respond to tweets? That's all he does. Everything's second nature. It's the tweets that he gets excited about. Obviously, he's not responding because people call Trump a racist. And he actually embraced Roseanne, and Roseanne does this and has done things like this through her history. It doesn't make Don look too good. Here's the problem. It's not that Don can't say anything. It's that Don is scared to say something. It may rattle his base. If Don says anything, it almost has to be what Roseanne did was abhorrible. It was horrible. She should have never said it. It was a disgusting thing to say. If he said that publicly, which is what he should be saying, obviously, then his base would go, oh, Don, we think what Roseanne did was okay. So that Don's caught between a rock and a hard place. And the only thing that'll shut up Donald Trump is being caught between a rock and a hard place. Now, I think that's temporary because the guy can't keep his mouth shut for too long. But he's screwed one way or the other, no matter which way he turns. And you know what? He set up his own screwing. The way that he responded to Charlottesville was abysmal, and that overturned the country pretty heavy. Look, I'll tell you something, and I don't want to be too serious for too long because this is supposed to be a comedy podcast. Ha ha ha. But I will tell you what's on my mind, and I don't know if you agree with me or not. That's not the point of this. It's about time, well, it was about time a long time ago, that whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or whatever, if you were a human being, you're supposed to stand up and say, enough of this crap. Shut up. I don't want my president dividing our country. I want our president uniting our country. United we stand, divided we fall. The president is purposely trying to divide. And I'll make one last comment. He and his lover, his legal lover, Rudy Giuliani, have both said verbatim, in words, not surrounded at the point, but said directly to the point, we have a mission to discredit journalism so that if anything is said negative, the public won't believe it. That's why this fake news thing was created, in order to make the public think twice about anything that journalists say. So if they say something negative about the president, you'll question that. He's doing the same thing, and Giuliani actually said this in words. They're doing it. It is a strategy to discredit the Mueller investigation. Because when the day comes that Mueller comes out with any damning evidence or comments about the president, then most of the country, or some of the country, won't believe Mueller's results anyway. They're trying to discredit whatever Mueller would say ahead of time, so that when he does say it, the people won't believe that Mueller is being accurate, or that Mueller is on a witch hunt, as that word is used quite frequently. It is the strategy of the White House and Giuliani to discredit the judiciary system, the intelligence community, journalism, the Mueller investigation. If you knock them down and tear them apart, when they do speak, people won't believe them. That is the mission. It was said in those words. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're being manipulated. And you don't even know it. I'm telling you, you're being manipulated. It's time for everybody to stand up and say, hey, those of you that agree with Trump's policies, good for you. Fine. But at what point do you stand up and say, this is morally and socially bad for our country? Yeah, I may be making a little bit more money as a result of something Trump did, but I morally cannot put up with this any longer. There are other Republicans and other people that can do what Trump's policies may be with more respect and dignity and intelligence. The role of the leader of the free world is to bring it together, not to divide it. Okay, I think that's enough. Let's move on. Seriously.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad. And it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Well, actually, people will find out if you're in an accident. I said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. My mother always said this when I was growing up, and she may have said it to you. Not that my mother said this to you personally, but your mother might have said it to you. Always wear clean underwear just in case you're in an accident when they bring you to the hospital. You don't want to be wearing dirty underwear. That'd be embarrassing in the emergency room. And I kept saying to my mother, if I'm in an accident, I'm soiling my pants even if they're clean. What are you talking about? She also told me not to run with scissors. I said, the only reason I would run with scissors is to very quickly get to a place where I could cut a piece of paper. I don't run with scissors. Speaking of running with scissors, what about those people that run with the bulls in Spain once a year? They could get mowed over and mauled by a bull. They purposely let a bull or a series of bulls with very sharp horns chase them through the streets, lined with people where you can't really get out of the way of the bull anyway. If you could just take a demographic of people and put them in front of bulls, you would have to say to them, could you please explain to me why you do this? And their response will always be the same. It's the adrenaline, and it's the sense of danger. My response to them is, you're crazy. If you want adrenaline, then go to an amusement park. But if you're the kind of person who needs to be chased by a bull, then I guess we're thinning out the herd as far as humans are concerned. Go for it. Have a nice day. Man, what is up with you? Our guest today is a prominent person. So prominent that it's just going to drive you crazy. Do you smoke weed? Ron, what are you changing the subject? What are you talking? Do you smoke weed? That's marijuana, cannabis. It's been legalized in many states, and these states don't quite know how to handle it. How do we let people grow it? How is it sold? Do we arrest people? It's federally not feasible, but state-wise, it is. How does this work? It's very confusing. People do things without thinking it through. So I actually thought we should speak to somebody and see if we can figure this stuff out. Hi, John. How are you?
Morning, Ron.
John,
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. John Poss is with us now. He's an expert and chairman and CEO of GB Sciences Incorporated. And we're talking about the cannabis industry, which is the up-and-coming thing to talk about. Many states have legalized, and we don't know what to do about it. So the cannabis market is, I guess, an incredible market.
It's a big, big market. Here in Las Vegas alone, where we operate in Nevada, it's about $600 million. It's on the order of $10 billion and growing in the U.S. And it's about six now, projected to be 8 to 10 in 2017, but growing to, you know, who knows, 100 billion, 50 to 100 billion. Beer, just by scale, the beer market's about 111 million.
Oh, okay.
So somewhere between half to 100% of what beer is in terms of scale.
Wow. Okay. Now, is there a difference between recreational marijuana and medical marijuana other than use?
Well, in states where it's legal, there is really no difference because the testing standards are uniform across the board. In most states, I don't really know of any exceptions. The difference is really whether you have a medical card or not, and there are different products available in each segment of the market. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we view it as one market. We think our company views it that every person that consumes cannabis deserves cannabis of the highest quality, free of all contaminants and pesticides, heavy metals, et cetera, and that it's safe to consume.
Yeah.
And I think that's the general attitude of all the regulatory bodies.
Now, a lot of people use cannabis, even though it's for recreational, there are also possibilities that it can cross over to the medical also, and I understand that you're a cancer survivor, is that right?
That is absolutely correct. In fact, I understand you're in Boston, which is,
yep.
I went to Dana-Farber.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
at Dana-Farber for,
excellent.
Went back and forth there for 18 years.
Wow.
So, yes, okay. I'm a cancer survivor.
And did you use cannabis in your therapy?
Only for appetite and stimulation. Mm-hmm. I was in a clinical trial for a drug called Gleevec, STI-571. I have a rare cancer called GIST. And the I was diagnosed and then had major surgery, and then a few months later went to see George Dimitri at Dana-Farber. Yeah. And he said, "We got this great drug. We're just starting a clinical trial, but there isn't any available." Mm-hmm. And so you have to go home and wait. And so I waited for 6 months, and to the point I was 3 weeks from being dead mm-hmm. before I got in the clinical trial, and they had enough medicine available to treat me. Wow, and I'm alive 18 years later. Yeah. But the point is that period of 6 months where I was sitting there knowing that there was a drug that could save my life, but I couldn't have access to it, was one of the most frustrating 6 months of my life. That's the situation that patients face everywhere in this country. And many patients may be recreational users. For example, there's a stigma associated with a medical card. If you get a medical card, that means you're a registered marijuana user, which means you can't own a gun under the Gun Control Act of 1968. Right. You can't buy a gun. You can't get a federal duck stamp. So many people that are patients buy their medicine as recreational users or on the black market.
Yes.
So they don't have to be a reporting marijuana user.
Yeah. This is all on the threshold of the industry. I mean, I know the industry is large, the uses is large, but the legalities of it are still being worked out state to state, federally. You have opponents, you have, it's a little confusing right now.
It's a very confusing landscape. I've spent my life working with companies that, I'm an old guy, I've been doing business for 50 years, I'm 70 years old, and I've been in just virtually every industry to help consult or solve a problem. Cannabis is the most complex industry I've ever worked in, and I've worked in banking and oil and gas and insurance and construction and blah, blah, blah. And this is just one complex business because, A, we're all, I'm an unindicted felon. I'm trying to cure Parkinson's and other diseases, but I'm an unindicted felon because I had a company like that and that does cannabis. And we can't get banking. So you can, but it's very expensive and you have to scramble to do it. We have, we can't cross state lines, which is totally irrational from a supply demand standpoint. Mm-hmm. And and we get 5 inspections a week, we pay taxes out of our ears. Yeah. I think that cannabis is the great American tax relief act for the states. They're pounding in some revenue, and pretty soon the federal government will get it right and rationalize it, and it'll become an easier industry. But right now it is complex and difficult.
Yeah. And I know many opponents to it change over to proponents. It goes back and forth depending on what's going on at the time.
Yeah, I think the genie's out of the bottle. I think we've reached the tipping point, and now it's up to the federal government to catch up and document and express the will of the people.
I've always been confused as to the federal and the state because some states legalize it, and then federally you can still be prosecuted. It's just, I don't understand. I don't profess to understand any of this.
That's been a major deterrent to investment in the industry. Yeah. Although there is a good bit of money coming in, and it's been a major deterrent to, in some cases, qualified management coming into the industry. It's not without risk, although every day that risk is diminishing. I think pretty much everyone in the industry right now is comfortable that they're not going to get arrested or charged with anything.
Yeah.
And I think they're also, everyone's very optimistic within the next year or two we'll have something that changes things, particularly in light of the recent, the impending approval of Epidiolex as a medicine.
Well, the one person that should be involved is Trump. He should smoke it and then chill out, and everything would be better, but I guess it doesn't work like that.
I will remain silent.
No, you don't have to say anything. Don't say anything. I just threw that in anyway. Okay. How do we get more information about this?
there's obviously, go to the websites. There are a lot of popular industry websites like Leafy. Our website is gbsciences.com. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of white papers on our website that talk about the benefits of cannabis. Really, the difference between us and many other companies is we do evidence-based research. Mm-hmm. We're partners with five different universities doing research. We've got seven patents mm-hmm. on various compounds and dosing techniques. We really want to unlock the healing powers and make this plant medicine. And so go to our website, go to Leafy, read all you can. And we're preparing right now. We're actually working with a educational development company to develop a course for physicians and patients on cannabis and on what's good for what, et cetera. We're going to make that available on a website and make it free, actually, to anyone that wants. And we may have to charge a buck or two to the doctors to get their C credit. But it'll be relatively really inexpensive and available for everyone. That'll be coming up probably in the next 3 months. We'll have that mm-hmm. up and running for everyone.
Great. Well, John, great information. It's been nice speaking to you today.
It's been great speaking to you. Always happy to talk to someone from Boston. I have an affinity for Boston, as you might suspect.
Well, we all say hello to you. And we'll talk again soon. Take care.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today. But I tell you what, here's the deal. Let's do this again tomorrow. Will you come back tomorrow? I'll have a seat here ready for you. And let's do that, okay? Is that a deal? Yeah, all right. No? What do you mean no? Come on, you're kidding me, right? Come on back. Come on. Excuse me. Just want to get by. Sorry. Excuse me.